Blog Talk Radio.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and I want to thank you so much for waking up this morning and listening to the show. Today we're going to be talking about the state of black marriages. I'm sure there are many theories out there about, do they exist? Are they happily married? Is economics affecting black people, single parenthood, single motherhood, black males being incarcerated? You know, why do we not see black couples in the news in a happy, positive light? What's going on? And why can't people stay married in general, but specifically black people? What are their issues? What are they dealing with? Is the issues of racism, self-loathing? Again, the economics, we're in a sort of a depression right now. That's definitely affecting black marriages. Today I have some wonderful guests that will help us try to sort all this out. Right now I have Dr. Shane Perot. He's a psychologist and coach with more than 16 years of experience. He's the founder and lead psychologist at the ADHD Performance Counseling Center in Silver Springs, Maryland. He's also a blogger for Psychology Today magazine. Good morning, Dr. Perot.
Good morning, Joy. It's always a pleasure to be here. I really look forward to your shows, and I look forward to today's as well.
Thank you, thank you. We also have a certified marriage and family therapist, Dr. Peggy Vertrees. Dr. Vertrees has also been on my show previously talking about relationships and what we can do to build healthy relationships. Good morning, Dr. Vertrees.
Good morning, Joy. It's a pleasure to be back again. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Vertrees works with the Council for Relationships, their organization here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, helping couples deal with the issues. And also, hopefully later, I think we might have one more caller here. Let me check here. Might be one of our other guests. Good morning. Good morning. No? Okay. All right. Well, I wanted to read an article. It's something that really touched me in just studying about black marriages and the myths and some of the reality. What is the reality of black marriage? Well, the reality is there are a lot of happy black marriages in America today, whether you believe that or not. But unfortunately, we do face a lot of problems, and the particular problem that we face is, I guess, how we look at ourselves, our self-image. And in the Emory Law Journal, Enola Aird wrote an article called Toward a Renaissance for the African-American Family, Confronting the Lie of Black Inferiority. And I wanted to read a little bit of his article. Really touched me about the black family. He says, the civil rights movement has opened many doors of opportunity, but the lie of black inferiority, the most devastating and longest lasting consequence of enslavement and colonization of African people, remains with us. The lie of black inferiority says that black people are not as beautiful, not as lovable, not as intelligent, not as capable, not as worthy as white people or any other people for that matter. The point is simple. If you love yourself, you are more likely to be able to love other people. If you have a healthy regard for yourself, you are more likely to believe that you are entitled to good things, and you will be better able to build healthy, nurturing relationships. People who believe at some level that they are not as beautiful, not as lovable, not as intelligent, not as worthy, will find it hard to love themselves and other people who look like them. He says in the article, I am referring to what educator Robert Franklin calls the love deficit. What psychiatrist Alvin Poussin and journalist Amy Alexander call it self-loathing. Sociologist Joy Leary describes it as a vacant esteem. Whatever we call it, I believe that a sense of not being fully worthy is at the core of what is ailing too many black people and families today. Wow. I want to talk to the doctors. Let's start off with Dr. Perot. What do you think about that? Is that what's affecting black marriages today?
I mean, you know, it's hard for me to say that that isn't. I mean, directly it's hard to say. I think when I think of inferiority complex, I see it in a different way from the standpoint that in the media, how we portray ourselves, how we portray our women, how we portray relationships to them, how we really disrespect them. And I won't talk about that, but from the male to a female perspective, And I say that from the standpoint that as black men in particular, we really need to take onus of this problem. I mean, we are the best marketers in the world. You know, with this recent thing with Tiger Woods, they're like, ratings for golf is going to fall in half. So you have a black man, and that's
crazy.
A real concern.
Yes.
And you have a black man promoted the whitest sport in the world. You look, the other day I was in the store and I went to get some vitamin water. I paid $1.89 for that, 50 cents. We're incredible marketers. We could promote anything. But for some reason, we don't value this enough to promote it in a positive way in terms of our relationships with our women. I think we've just gotten to a point where we've kind of lost our way in terms of how we see each other, and that's male, female, and female, male. And so in that way, I think the inferiority complex plays itself in, and it undermines our relationships. I mean, currently, there is no stigma in our community not to be married and to have kids. And
yeah.
I don't want to stigmatize single mothers. I think they do a heck of a job. I admire them. I really respect them. But that's become the norm. So is that inferior in some way? Yeah.
Well, Dr. Patrice, you're working with couples all the time, and Dr. Perot, I know you do also, but Dr. Patrice, what are some things that we can teach our young people to build healthy relationships? Because, you know, there is a Teen Dating Violence Month. Did you know that February is Teen Dating Violence Month? Hmm. Domestic violence is affecting America, but it's also affecting the black community. You know, usually, you know, what they say, America has a cold, we have pneumonia. So how do we teach young people to build healthy relationships, Dr. Patrice?
I think that one key to that, and I know that they are highly affected by the media, videos, music videos, et cetera, et cetera. I think one thing that we do not do that could be helpful for our teens in terms of relationships and intimate relationships is to remind them of our history. We have not always had to deal with these types of statistics in the climate that we're in now. African Americans have always been strong in their relationships in terms of marriage, even despite some of the ills that society historically has placed on the African American marriage and family. So I think one of the keys we can do is to help our children, especially our teens, know where they come from and that they have good, strong roots and that they can be proud of that. And that helps to build self-esteem. And when you have self-esteem regarding yourself, you can begin to then show that to others. So even in their intimate relationships, that should be able to come out as well.
Now,
If I could follow up on that question, I mean, I think the esteem part is a real important part of it. And our history is pretty good because up through the 1960s, 82% of black children were born in a two-parent household, and that's even through slavery, so I agree with the good doctor on that. One thing I think is a skill that's causing, or a lack of a skill that's causing us challenges, is our selection process. I mean, you are an Asian male or a Jewish male, and you're a geek, you're not going to have a problem getting a partner.
Mm.
We really don't encourage that. We have a bad boy culture. I mean, I hate to say that, but that's who gets the rewards. And I think that's a lot of the challenges that go down the road. I mean, that person then lives out that fantasy, and they have a bad boy. I have a lot of couples that come to me, and I'll have a female that was just clearly successful. And she'll marry this guy, and you'll look, and you're like, well, what was your interest in him? And a part of the problem I see is really selection, is not marrying friends. And if we could push home the importance of that. And I think Barack Obama has maybe helped with that image to some extent.
Yeah, for example, I mean, look at the Obamas. I mean, people think of them almost, you know, on the level of the Cosbys in a sense. You know, when the Cosby show was on, people said, that doesn't really, who has a marriage? Who lives in a house like that? Who has a marriage like that and they're black? But those images exist. The question, like you brought up earlier, is the media, which is what kids are soaking in every day on the internet, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, you know, cable TV, where are you seeing positive black marriages? You just don't see that. It's like an anomaly or something, you know? So the media affects, and so then in terms of your selection choice, what you see on TV is black people hooking up with other black people and having destructive relationships or you know, short-term relationships. You don't see the 50-year marriage, the 65-year marriage, the 75-year marriage, or for that matter, in general, more than 5 years, you know? So I want to talk about the issue, though, do we really need to get married? I mean, are we getting married too much? Are Americans in love with the idea of getting married? Maybe marriage is past now. Maybe we don't need to have long-term committed relationships. Maybe that's just not where we're going. Maybe people need to go out with more than one person and just be happy with that. I mean, what do you guys think about that, Dr. Patrice?
Well, just statistically speaking, African Americans are usually less likely than any other group to get married. But the fact of the matter is we do have positive role models. We tend to look at folk like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett and Obama's as well. But I think that we're kind of missing the point. Every day there are positive role models out there. You can choose to gravitate towards that. For example, some of us do come from families where there are very strong role models who have been married for years and raised their children together and struggled to send them to college. Just like we don't see positive images of African Americans in the news for with daily life or on the job or anything like that, we'll see the homicide. We'll see that they're cutting up at school or doing certain things. We have a positive aspect as well, and it's our responsibility, I bring, to turn our eyes towards that because it's there. Even when we go to church, there are some older couples there that can be role models that we can see, and younger couples who are coming together and trying. So I think that the positive role models are there. They're not just on TV, and they're not just in the White House. But
let me just read some statistics here. Do you know that there is a African American Healthy Marriage Initiative by our government?
Yes.
The Administration for Children and Families Healthy Marriage Initiative seeks to improve child well-being by helping those who choose marriage for themselves to develop the skills and knowledge necessary to form and sustain healthy marriages. I mean, this is by our government, so we're in a crisis. They're saying that 42% of African-American adults are married compared to 61% of whites and 59% of Hispanics. 12% divorce rate for African-American couples compared to 10% for whites. And 7% for Hispanics. 68% of African-American births are to unmarried women. Dr. Perot, you brought up the issue of single parenthood. I myself am a single mother. And I think you can hit on the key point of selection process. But, you know, when people think about relationships in general, the issue of I don't want to get hurt comes up. We look at Tiger Woods. He's cheating on his wife. We look at domestic violence. We look at Chris Brown and Rihanna. Well, why do I want to get married to the black man if he's going to hit me? So let's first deal with the issue of cheating, why people may not want to get into committed relationships because they feel like somebody's going to cheat on them. How do you deal with cheating, Dr. Perot, in a relationship?
I think that question has been looked at more in the last 2 weeks probably than the history of our country. I think it's a real interesting thing, you know. You can't say who will cheat. You can't say who won't cheat. All you can say is what your reaction to someone will be.
Should you leave the person? I mean, if somebody cheats on you, I mean, isn't that a break of the commitment that you made to marriage? I mean, you said, I'm only going to be with you, you know, financially, emotionally, sexually, everything, and then you go and break that. I mean, why should the person continue a relationship with them if they got cheated?
I'm not suggesting that they necessarily should. Yeah, I'm not saying that. What I'm merely saying is I don't think cheaters just, as a rule, come out of nowhere. I don't think Tiger was Mr. Faithful before that relationship went down the aisle. I would be highly surprised if he were. I'd be even more surprised if there weren't some signs. I'm not saying she didn't make a good choice to marry him, but when couples come in and someone's unfaithful, you know, there are two ways it happens, I see. Sometimes there's a problem in the relationship, in which case you merely fix the problem and things tend to work out okay. You know, there's a void in the relationship. They're not communicating. They're having a lot of conflicts, and they can't resolve them. A person's absent emotionally, physically, or whatever the case, and something happens. Yeah, that's one thing. Another category, which Tiger might fall into, is where you have people that are just wired in a way that they can't be faithful to one partner. And I'll have couples come in where that's the case, but that person's never been faithful.
Dr. Patrice, let me ask Dr. Patrice a question about the issue of sex. I mean, because is cheating, Dr. Patrice, connected with sex? the need to have sex. I mean, that's a very big issue for married couples. How often we're going to have sex, when we're going to have sex, what kind of sex we're going to have. People may not talk about that. Do you experience that, Dr. Patrice, when couples come see you?
When couples come to see me in terms of sex, usually we're not having enough sex, or we'd like to have a baby, along those lines. But cheating does sex. The lack of sex does not necessarily always equate to cheating. Women, for example, they may cheat not because of the sex issue necessarily. Maybe it's because they're not getting their emotional needs met in the marriage. And so we find that women will step out of the marriage to have that relational connection, that emotional spark lit again. And they may be very, very faithful, quote unquote, in terms of having sex with their husband, but that's all it is. You know, the body's there, but the mind isn't.
The mind is going away.
That's right. So the sex will be there, so to speak, but she may step out because she needs that emotional piece met. And in terms of men, it's unfortunate that the cheating does happen. The whole Tiger Woods issue is a sad piece. But as Dr. Perot was speaking earlier, I think the selection process you mentioned earlier, and the good doctor referred to folk possibly being wired. I know when I see my clients, we'll start off with something that's called a genogram. And when I do this genogram, I'm looking at their family of origin issues to see what patterns are showing up, if there are any sexual patterns showing up, and what are the messages behind that and the secrets behind that. Or are the men usually stepping out on the
wife? Is that the examples they saw? I see some callers on the switchboard. If you do have a question for our guest, or you want to make a comment, please press the number one on your phone pad. Again, please press the number one on your phone pad. I want to bring up an important issue. We're in the middle of a war right now. A lot of young black males are in the service, and they're not in this country. They're overseas, and they're married. How do marriages deal with the issue of distance, Dr. Perot? How do you maintain that intimacy and caring and trust when people overseas in the military, for example?
I think that's a big, big issue. As a resident, I trained at the VA Medical Center, and we dealt with that issue. We weren't in war at that particular time, but that issue happened because people were deployed for different places, and people come back and they've changed. People come back and they're not the same. They've been in a wartime type situation, and their reaction to everyday stressors isn't the same. It's not on their radar. Coupled with the fact that you have some distance that's developed between these two people as they've been forced to live their life separately. You have issues related to kids. You know, you have someone that's kind of estranged from his family at this point, and they come back, and now they're expected to be a father figure, and it takes some time to kind of put that relationship back together.
Well, you know, now we have women, too, that are being deployed, where the fathers are home and the women are in the service. That's a whole other dynamic, that the women are being deployed and trying to maintain these distance relationships. But I think that is important that we try to keep communication. I know Dr. Patrice talked about the issue of communication always. I mean, you know, we have Skype now, you have video chat, you know, you have a lot of inexpensive phone calls. I mean, people can write letters. I mean, I think those are some ways that probably can maintain a relationship.
You know, that can help. I find that with the men and women who are coming back home, I know at Council for Relationships, we have to set up a program set up specifically for those spouses coming back, our Operation Home and Healing, or Health and Healing. And because most of these folk are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder and coming back, so how do you now reconnect to your husband, to your wife, to your children, if you are now dealing with PTSD, which impacts the marriage and the family, to be able to get past that first. And a lot of these folk are African-American men and women.
Yes, yes, definitely. Now, we have a financial crisis in the country, and money is another big issue that affects married couples. And, you know, again, I talk about the issue when America has a cold, we have a pneumonia.
Yes.
That's a very famous quote. But the issue is, how do black couples, how can we deal with the issue of finances? Because, Dr. Perot, again, I'm going to go back to that selection process. I think that's a very key point. How do you decide to go out with an individual? How do you decide to make a commitment to an individual? Why are you choosing them? Is it because they're tall, they're short, they're light, they're dark, they have a good education, They're funny, you know, they have a similar interest. But money, there are a lot of very successful black women now in high-level positions in various companies across this country, and they are either marrying their partners in business, which may not be African-American, or they're choosing to marry someone who doesn't have as much education or doesn't make as much money. But then people may say, well, why should I marry down, so to speak? What do you guys have to say about that, Dr. Ford? Why should a woman who has, a PhD marry someone who's working at McDonald's?
Well, I don't know that she should marry someone that's just working at McDonald's. I don't think she's too compatible. But if he's in McDonald's and he's trying to start his business on the side, maybe there's a little more compatibility there. And I say it because you're seeing a shift in our economy. I mean, for the longest time, the job world was a secure place, and that's not necessarily the case anymore. A lot of people that don't have college degrees, they're good hustlers and they're good businessmen. I know countless people out there that don't have degrees that make way more money than I'll ever make. They made
but
a
how
lot
does
of
that affect the marriage? How is that going to affect the marriage? Say you're married right now in this recession, your husband loses a job. He was the main, provider, financial provider. That's really impacting marriages right now. How do couples deal with that issue?
I agree it is, but you were talking about the selection process. And I'm
right,
saying,
in the selection, yeah.
People with degrees are getting laid off too.
Yes.
That security that was once there wasn't there. I think if you look at a partner and you look at your plan, like you talked about someone was at McDonald's. Let's say someone's at McDonald's, but they're trying to launch a golf club, a golf business.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get more flexible and you say, wow, as a business person, this might be somebody that really does have a bright future ahead of them, and I need to rethink what I define as success. That's the only point I'm making.
Yeah. Well, again, I see some callers on the line. Again, if you have a question for the doctors or you want to make a comment, please press the number 1 on your phone pad. But thank you very much for listening to today's show. Now, let's get to the nitty-gritty. How do you select a good partner? How do you know that someone is going to be committed to you? Is it the matter of their consistency in their behavior? Is their honesty? Is their openness? What are some key things that we can look for? Because that seems we keep coming back to that selection process issue. Dr. Patrice, what are some key things that we can look for if we want to be married, if we want to be in a committed relationship for the rest of our lives, that's what marriage, I believe, is, how do we choose that person? What do we look for?
I think one of the key things that you should really start to look at is yourself. And you need to ask yourself where you are and what is it that you think that you might need in a relationship. And sometimes a lot of folk will decide, okay, well, yeah, I like to get married. He or she has this, and they can do this, and they can do that. Ask yourself, you know, where am I in my developmental process? Am I mature enough to take on this big, this project, this lifelong project? Because marriage is work. And you just can't marry for money. You just can't marry because his family's well-to-do and it's going to raise your social status. Well, you have to know where you are, because in the first 3 years of marriage, that's the proving ground. And if you are not ready emotionally, developmentally yourself, then it's going to be rough. So the first thing is to ask yourself, am I really up for this? Mm-hmm. Can I give 100%+ in this committed covenant relationship, and then go from there?
Wonderful. And Dr. Perot, the issue of people staying married, you know, domestic violence is a very big issue in the black community. Sometimes we don't want to talk about it. The Chris Brown, Rihanna issue kind of brought something to the forefront, but they're not married. But in married couples, especially for women in terms of economics, they may be staying with someone because of economics. How do you talk to a married couple who may be dealing with that issue of domestic violence? How can churches or recreations or people in the community help that couple who are dealing with the domestic violence issue? Because also children are suffering because of that domestic violence issue. Dr. Perot.
Yeah, I think you're seeing domestic violence be on the rise in this country, and a lot of it is because of the economy, because the abusers are home more now. They're home, they're more frustrated because they're more, you know, they're less likely to have jobs, because we all are less likely to have jobs. So I think that's a challenge, coupled with the fact that the shelters now don't have the resources that they once had. I mean, in a slow economy, people cut back, and they cut back their giving. I think our churches really, you know, would benefit us all by kind of highlighting these areas and make them more of an area that they send their donations to, because the time the wait in the shelters is longer. People are getting in, it's taking longer, and they're staying in longer. So it's really hard for people to have resources. And because people's families are also pinched, they're less likely to take in someone else. So I think the economy has definitely affected domestic violence quite a bit.
Now, I want to bring up an issue. We have just a couple minutes left. What do you guys think about the LGBT issue? You know, we have the Defense of Marriage Act that's stopping, you know, gays and lesbians, people in the LGBT community from getting married. But those people want to get married also, and they're black, gay, and lesbians. We don't want to talk about it in the black community, but there are black gays and lesbians, and they want to get married. Is there a difference between people in the LGBT community trying to develop healthy relationships as opposed to heterosexuals, Dr. Patrice?
No, I think that we are all human no matter what our sexual orientation is, and we will address some of the same issues, intimacy issues, issues about trust, issues about parenting. We're going to address those basic human issues, so I don't think sexual orientation has really much to do with that.
Dr. Perot, your opinion about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dr. Patrice makes a good point. You know, by and large, people want to be healthy. I don't think I'm in a position to really comment on who should be married and who shouldn't. That's just me being honest about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's between a person and their God and what they believe in. I don't really feel qualified to speak about that. But healthy relationships are universal. If you're with a bad partner, you're just going to have a bad time of it.
Regardless of whether you're heterosexual or LGBT.
Yeah,
I agree
with
you.
Both couples that come into my practice, and you could close your eyes, you couldn't tell the difference. They have the same issues. I mean, their problem isn't because of their orientation. Their problem is, wow, can I work it out with this person?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I want to thank both of you for coming on. We only have a couple of minutes left. And I also want to mention that, again, if you're a caller, I see a lot of people on the line, you can press the number one to join the conversation. But friendship, that's something both of you mentioned earlier. Friendship is the key to a healthy relationship. And I think I learned that when I was growing up. I grew up with a mother and a father for most of my life when I became a young adult. Unfortunately, they did divorce. But I think I benefited from that. But there are unfortunately some people who have two-parent households who are married and the children don't benefit because of the conflicts that are going on with the parents. So the issue of friendship and I think liking the person. Somebody told me one day, do you like that person? Because some people love them and it's lust and it's sexual, but do you like them? And Dr. Patrice, do you think definitely friendship is a key factor in healthy marriages?
Friendship can go a really long way, especially when things aren't looking their best. You know, you may say, well, I haven't stopped loving you, but right now I really don't like you, you know, but still, and you know, you're my friend. And I know that I can express certain things with you that I can't express or share with someone else. And especially friendship is key in building in the early stages, because for those older couples who have weathered the storm and now they're going through their little empty nest phase, the friendship piece really comes in, comes in with high points.
Dr. Perot, what is the closing word you have to say? How can people maintain healthy marriages today?
Well, I think the friendship is key. One thing that we didn't talk about in the selection process is trajectory. You know, are you and the person not just in the same place at the same time, but are you headed in the same direction, and can you support each other as you head in the same direction? Because at 18 or 25, two people may be exactly aligned, but one's headed one place and one's headed someplace else. And, you know, unless you have a complementary trajectory, I've seen it be good and I've seen it not be so good.
Well, I want to thank again both of you for joining the conversation this morning. I want to thank everyone for listening. I'm going to be doing a special show on Monday, the 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern, talking about single motherhood with Carmel Boss. She's the founder of Kobo.com, and she's helping single mothers across the country find housing and support and resources. So tune in Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern. The call-in number is 646-929-0368. Thank you so much, Dr. Perot and Dr. Patrice, and have a wonderful day, everybody else, and I'll see you hopefully on Monday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, George.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you.